From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Just as the rise of MP3s and iTunes led to obituaries for the CD, the rise of the CD had many in the music industry forecasting an end to vinyl. According to Nielsen's SoundScan, vinyl counted for less than 1% of total album sales last year. But the venerable LP is not dead, as Jacob Gans reports in the latest installment of our series on music formats.
Vinyl has never really gone away. It's just meant different things to different generations. Today, that's mostly fans of indie rock. But even the people who service that audience are cautious when describing vinyl's resurgence.
I think vinyl is definitely growing, and it's continued to grow, but I think there's definitely a ceiling as to where I don't think it's ever going to become the prevalent format. I mean, I think that'd be crazy to think that.
Andrea Santo Domingo co-founded the record label Mexican Summer in 2008. Its biggest success story to date is last year's Crazy For You by the group Best Coast, whose music falls right into the current vinyl sweet spot, melodic, retro-sounding pop. The label began as a way of serving music fans who wanted something physical and collectible, but that audience seems to be limited. While the Best Coast record has sold over 50,000 copies, just 10,000 of those were on vinyl. Santo Domingo says this small resurgence vinyl has enjoyed lately is a reaction and a complement to the options available online.
I think the vinyl, in a way, represents slow, and I think that's something that's attractive about it also, maybe on a subliminal level, for consumers that are always on the internet to get something that's really physical. Maybe archaic in a way, but the complete antithesis of what the speed of consuming music on the internet is. As much as people might not acknowledge it, I think it does play a little bit into sort of appeal.
We know how CDs, cassettes, and MP3s are made and reproduced because we can do all those things at home. But vinyl is a little bit of a mystery.
Here you have a normal, regular pressing plant.
Will Sokolov owns EKS Manufacturing, a vinyl factory in eastern New York, an industrial neighborhood of Brooklyn. EKS makes most of the 7-inch singles released by Mexican Summer. The process hasn't changed in 50 years.
The material goes in basically at these two large round molds. The stampers fit on that. Steam goes in when the press goes up.
Vinyl records start out as tiny pellets of polyvinyl chloride, PVC, that get melted down and formed into a soft puck shape, then steam heated and pressed between those two molds, each with a spiral ridge, negatives of the A and B sides of the record.
The record then tips over onto the spindle, and while that's happening, the next record's being made. A record's produced every 30 seconds.
The machines at EKS have been around since the 1960s, and nobody makes them anymore, which means that when something breaks, Sokolov has two choices: get a new part specially made, or cannibalize an old machine.
I know pressing plants that have gone out of business that people have bought not to get the presses, they bought it to get the parts.
Not that there are many plants left to raid.
There used to be 40, 50 pressing plants in the New York area. I mean, there's three now.
The contraction, Sokolov says, started with the introduction of the CD. But through that era, one group kept the pressing plants in business, DJs who played dance music and hip-hop on the radio and in clubs. Alain Maklovich, better known as A-Track, was born in 1982. The same year that the CD was introduced. He started DJing when he was 12 and won the World DJ Championship when he was 15.
What I fell in love with was really scratching, physically manipulating these pieces of vinyl, moving the record back and forth and making these crazy sound effects with it. So there's a tactile connection with the record.
But those records can scratch or break. Maklovich says that airlines would lose crates of his vinyl. So when software companies introduced programs that allowed DJs to replace their crates of vinyl with digital files stored on a laptop, it wasn't tough to convince folks like Maklovich to make the trade. But he hasn't abandoned the format entirely. Fool's Gold, the hip-hop and electronic music record label he owns, has nearly 50 vinyl releases under its belt. This despite the fact that the format is a challenge to produce and expensive, and success on even a modest scale is limited. So how has vinyl managed to stick around at all? Every person I talked to said something like this.
Vinyl sounds better than digital. There's no argument.
It looks better. It sounds better. You can hold it in your hand. It's a keepsake. It's something that you can remember and have and treasure for years.
That's Jen Wozner of the Baltimore-based duo Y Oak. She and bandmate Andy Stack self-released their first album in 2006 on CD, simply because that was the default format.
We produced 1,000 CDs on our own, and we didn't even think at that point about vinyl because it was cost prohibitive.
Then the band got signed to Merge Records, one of the country's most successful indie labels. Merge didn't put Y Oak's first album out on vinyl, or its second.
Over the years, we've been like, guys, come on, like, give us vinyl. We work so hard. We want our music represented this way.
Stack and Wozner say they've always understood the label's decision from a financial point of view. But that won't make it any less sweet next week when the band's third album comes out in three formats: digital download, CD, and vinyl LP.
I always have said that I'll never really feel like a real band until I can hold a record in my hands and look at it and play it. So I'm really happy to say that I'll be able to do that really soon.
For NPR News, I'm Jacob Gans.